River Life formed in 1999 to plan and manage riverfront revitalization in post-industrial Pittsburgh. Its longtime leader, Lisa Schroeder, stepped down in December, and River Life recently hired a new president and CEO, Vivian Lee. Lee comes from the Boston Harbor Association, where she worked to restore access and vitality to that city's waterfront. Keystone Crossroads' Irina Zhuroff spoke with Lee about what she wants to accomplish in Pittsburgh. She started by asking what her biggest success was in Boston.
Cleaning up the harbor has really spurred economic development, revitalization of our waterfront, and the activation and programming that has drawn so many thousands of people to Boston's waterfront.
So what's your broad vision for Pittsburgh? What do you want to do with the waterfronts here?
I was so struck by the amount of green open space that you have on your riverfronts and also throughout the city. So I think that people, you know, besides the kayakers and those who are enjoying the open space, really now see what has been done as a result of River Life and your elected officials to really see the potential of doing even more on the riverfronts. And that may mean other development projects. It means connecting some of the riverfront access and the open spaces, you know, like in the Strip District riverfront, the continuation of the implementation of the North Shore Master Plan, and obviously being sure that the stormwater runoff is calmed, collected, and then cleansed by the natural riparian landscapes before it hits the city's rivers. So I think there's a lot of opportunities.
The Boston Harbor Association was founded in 1973, I believe. River Life in 1999. So that alone gives you a sense that Pittsburgh started thinking about waterfront development more recently. I mean, a lot has been done, but do you see how recent it is? Do you see that as a challenge or perhaps a blank slate?
Well, you know, if we had started the Boston Harbor Association in 1999, we probably would have been dealing with much different issues. So this group, our group, was founded by the League of Women Voters and the Boston Shipping Association right after the federal passage of the Federal Water Pollution Control Amendments by the U.S. Congress. And that was just at the start of the environmental movement, where people were just starting to become more sensitive to environmental conditions and the fact that, you know, if you clean up your air and your water, it can really improve the quality of life. I think one of the advantages that River Life has had is that by 1999, people were aware of the fact that so much more could be done in terms of quality of life issues and how the environmental aspects can help to make a difference. So I think it's, you know, while it's a different point in time, I think in 1999, the citizenry of Pittsburgh was much more attuned to the environmental issues than, frankly, we were in the early 70s here in Boston. So it wasn't as much of a hard sell to the business community as we had in the beginning.
Boston is a working port. Pittsburgh, too, still has a lot of industry and transportation on its rivers. How did you balance public access and recreation and sustainability with the commercial activity, and how does that translate in Pittsburgh?
Well, our working port is very crucial to the economy of not only Boston, but of our region. We have been very strong to ensure that there is shipping coming into our harbor, that the harbor is deep enough for the new ships that are being used by the largest carriers. But also, truck routes are absolutely crucial for moving cargo in and out of the port area. And we have been the strongest proponents, which many find ironic, you know, an environmentally sensitive group also supportive of having designated truck routes. And I think that's similar to Pittsburgh as well. It's that balance of making sure that the industrial uses are preserved while at the same time enhancing other uses as well.
So aside from some of the industrial activity and from the stadiums, there's pretty limited activity on the water here, practically no restaurants, no retail, limited residential buildings. Do you think those things are important to build up, and why?
Well, because one of the things that we talk about is the waterfront to be a 24/7 neighborhood. And that only happens when you have residents there who are the eyes and ears of what happens in any neighborhood, and certainly very important for operation and maintenance along the riverfronts. And then you want to give people destinations, so places to eat. People can meet on the waterfront. They can sometimes bring their own brown bag lunch. lunches, but I work very hard also to be sure that there are public restrooms. We have public art. We have open spaces with playgrounds and such. And that's what makes a neighborhood so vibrant. It's all of those mixed uses.
Many cities, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia included, have highways along their rivers, and they kind of cut the cities off from the water. Boston had the big dig, of course. In Pittsburgh, how will the roadways affect what you're able to do, do you think?
You know, when I came for my last interview, I wanted to get to the riverfront and actually had to figure out how to get around some of the highways. And I think, you know, we need to look at that some more. But in Boston, for example, we're even doing some very interesting things with now the underpasses and underneath roadways as well, with public art, with lighting, with using different types of lights and such, thinking about how those spaces might be used as well. So I think there's some real opportunities, given the fact that the roadways going to be there for a while, of using the spaces by the roadways in much more meaningful ways.
Mm-hmm. You worked a lot with developers in Boston to include public amenities in their projects. You mentioned already public bathrooms, for example. Were there specific policies or state or local laws that helped you along with that?
Well, in our state, we have the Tidelands Regulations that says that there has to be at least a 10-foot wide walkway for the general public. And using those regulations, we built onto that